Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Bridges to Business Radio.
I'm Ann Revel Petcher. I'm your host of Bridges to Business, and welcome to our very first ever Bridges to Business show. This is our first episode for this show. We're really excited to have some people who really exemplify what we're trying to do with this particular show. Bridges to Business was created as a opportunity for companies who may not be in downtown Wilmington, but maybe need to cross a bridge to come to the studio. And so we're looking for the companies that are maybe not right in the heart of Wilmington, but do a lot of business in and influence the business in Wilmington. And so today we're really excited to welcome from Leland, way across the river on the cool bridge, Sean Olson, who's the president and founder of CloudWise. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you. And coming all the way in from Wake Forest, not the university, but the city, we have two guests in from our friends over at the Wireless Research Center. We have Dr. Gerard Hayes. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Ann, how's it going?
Good. And Larry Stefan.
How are you doing, Ann?
I'm good. Good to see you. Thanks for coming all the way in here. I'm going to start actually with a few questions here for CloudWise. Sean, a lot of people don't know what CloudWise is. So what are you? What is it? What do you do? Why are you a cloud?
So CloudWise was initially founded as we were an IT service provider in the area years ago, actually kind of before CloudWise. And one of the biggest challenges over the last, as many of you have known, is the migration to the cloud and what does that mean to a business. And we've just learned early that we actually had to control the connection actually to the customer, for the customer, so the internet per se. And CloudWise was actually formed in that light, and that's really how I met with Wireless Research Center, and that's how we met is our delivery mechanism for our product is a wireless-based technology.
Oh, is that right? So, okay, so we do IT services and we do internet access. Is that
correct?
Fair?
So a business would utilize us if they're running a company, and obviously they have a technology need, they have servers on site, and they're looking to make that migration to get all that out of their office.
Okay.
And so they would utilize us for that. And we would provide the internet to them. We'd provide the servers in our data center, and they would access those servers.
So who is a typical customer?
It ranges anywhere from I have a one-show builder that utilizes virtual desktops with us to a couple hundred users in a company utilizes us.
Primarily here in the region?
Primarily in southeastern North Carolina, correct.
Okay. So you brought up the key virtualization word. Virtualization is a pretty hot topic right now. So what do you mean by that? And what does virtualization mean to a company today?
Sure. So in the past, one server primarily had one role in a company. So you'd have a server doing, multiple servers doing single roles. And what virtualization has really given us the ability, I'm doing this at a 50,000-foot view, of course.
You may have to go higher, but...
but what virtualization basically gave us the ability to do is to put multiple servers on a single server itself.
And why do you want to do that?
For numerous reasons, but ultimately to make better use of hardware being one of them. It also gives the ability to upgrade hardware without having to upgrade software.
Okay.
So if a company needed to do an upgrade, there's not an outage per se during that migration process. They can actually upgrade the hardware while, in some cases, while the hardware is actually running.
So is that hardware then still located within the company, or are you hosting that hardware? Or
both. So we have companies, we build networks within their company.
Okay.
So we build their network within their office, and we have some companies, most of our clients are in our data center in Raleigh.
Oh, okay. So how does this play with wireless then?
So one of the challenges with the migration to the cloud is once that happens, one of the downfalls, one of the largest cons to doing cloud computing is your dependency upon the internet. So what we've learned is that you have to have dedicated internet access. So basically internet that has a service level behind it.
Right.
But the provider stating that they're going to keep you up a certain period of percentage.
Okay.
similar to your phone service. Your phone rarely goes down.
Well, and I think I was actually talking to one of your folks about getting a phone line, and they said, you know, maybe you should have dedicated internet if you really want a solid phone line you can count on.
Correct. And the same thing, and you know, people can deal without their landline at their house, but typically they can't deal without their computer.
Right.
And internet's becoming as popular as water these days, if not more in some cases.
Well, you know, that need to stay connected is huge, even for people at home, because so many of us work at home even when we have an office to go to. And I can tell you my current service provider is not terribly good about making sure that I have an uptime of anything over 25 or 30%. So
Right. And so our whole network is 99.995% time. And by being able to do that, we're able to actually migrate the entire company infrastructure to our data center.
So coming back to your data center then, you've talked on your website about IT management. Is that why you would utilize a data center? Is for IT management primarily, or IT strategy development as well? What's the difference, and how do you play in that game?
Yeah, so I guess to understand the terms, really, so a data center in our eyes is really kind of a glorified storage location or a self-storage unit for the high-tech world. And typically the data centers themselves do have the ability to provide support of sorts.
Okay.
But we have learned over the last 10 years, about how long we've been in the IT business, we've learned that an IT role has to be more of IT strategy more than just infrastructure. So we actually get our hands pretty dirty with the companies and learning how they use technology before we actually build anything.
And so that really affects the strategy that you help them develop in that case for how to deal with their IT issues.
Correct. In some cases, migration to the data center may not be suitable for them. We haven't found many of those cases.
Well, I was going to say, give me an example of that. What might...
There's companies out there that have equipment on site that may need to pass high levels of data to a particular computer. And when that's the case, they need their own network on site. But that's not many businesses, at least in our area.
Sure. Okay. So mostly southeastern North Carolina, any type of business, but you're mostly data-centric businesses.
Primarily. We provide, like I said, we provided IT services for around 10 years outside of the data center, just IT strategy and consulting. So we really don't turn anybody down that's in the technology or wants to be in that game.
And are all of your services under the CloudWise umbrella now?
They are.
Okay, so everything comes from CloudWise now.
That's correct.
Excellent.
Voice, phone, data, and support.
Now, did you start what was the original company called?
So BBX Computers started in 2002.
And
we were just
yours?
IT consulting, correct.
And what made you want to do that?
IT consulting?
Yeah.
I was in corporate for a few years, actually, and a lot of...
Corporate IT, I assume.
Correct. And I noticed a lot of the executives, when they left that, when they started their own companies, really had no one to turn to.
Uh-huh.
They were so used to an IT team to be behind them.
Right.
And so I started PBX Computers.
And you saw CloudWise as a necessity because what was the big light bulb for you there?
So we've started a few firms over the last few years. So BBX Computers was the first firm that we started. And then we started an audio video firm that did infrastructure cabling, commercial based infrastructure cabling. And those obviously two worked hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started a phone company, an internet provider back in 2007. And so CloudWise was really the addition of virtualization into those companies.
So what's coming up for 14? We got a new year starting. You must have just finished a bunch of strategy and planning for the company. What's going on? What are we looking forward to this year?
So the goal for us this year, we're expanding our footprint forever and always. We are launching 6 new sites in Wilmington. And expanding our current site. So we should have a bulk of the coverage of New Hanover County.
What do you mean by new sites?
So we operate similar to a cell phone company.
So it's like a tower.
Correct.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So you're covering right now downtown?
Downtown, Leland, North Chase, Lumina Station, Mayfair Corridor, Barclay Commons.
Wow.
A couple others.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And how do they find you? What's the best way for someone to find you? Let's put it that way.
Most of our customers email or call us.
Okay.
So our phone number, 910-795-1000 is our office. And you can always email us at sales@cloudwise.com.
Cool.
And that's CloudWyze.
I assume WISE was taken. No URLs available for that.
Correct. But we actually went off of WISE because of the terminals.
Why? I remember those terminals. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm that old. For those of you who can't see me in Radio Land, yes, I'm that old. I used to install Sperry systems. Anybody remember Sperry?
Yes.
Yeah, it goes way back. Well, now we're going to go to the younger side of the table. They probably don't remember Sperry systems. and I was thrilled to hear you guys were coming, actually, to talk to CloudWyze. So let's come over and talk a little bit about what is the Wireless Research Center of North Carolina and why? Why does it exist?
Well, the Wireless Research Center is a unique nonprofit founded in 2010. We got started in 2011 is when we started ramping up. We're unique in that our mission combines economic development with technology. So focused on the wireless antennas, exposure, on-body antennas. We target the economic growth in North Carolina throughout the state.
Good. So
we got funded by the town of Wake Forest to get started, and we got a couple of grants from the Golden Leaf to tackle different projects. The first one was we offer state-of-the-art antenna and RF testing with a SATAMO 64 system, which is the only one in the region that covers 400 megahertz up to 18 gigahertz.
So yeah, describe that for the audience. Try to paint a picture of that cool testing facility.
Well, it looks like a big ring, like a big portal that does an array of probes that switch around in one axis and then spin you around, and you can see everything electromagnetic from every direction is the way to describe that.
Larry, jump in here. How big is this? Describe this from a non-technical PhD.
you feel like you're walking inside a spaceship, and all the probes, all the points of the foam are pointing toward you. And the importance of it is that it's an anechoic chamber, which means no echo. So if you close the door, it's total silence. And there's an airiness between stepping into the chamber. But the technology is state-of-the-art. The Golden Leaf Foundation was actually a partner with us as well that actually helped us fund this.
Okay, good.
And the entire facility is designed or set up for economic development. So maybe a little background on why we came about is that in the Triangle area, there was a number of wireless companies that had actually grown significantly, and then they were shut down. Or closed down. Sony Ericsson was one large one. That's where Jerry came from. And there were several other, HCT and some other companies came and went. But there's a great amount of talent in the area. And we wanted to keep the talent here. And in order to actually validate some of the platforms, the wireless platforms, you needed an investment in this test equipment that most startup companies could not afford. So the town of Wake Forest got behind us. And the mayor of town of Wake Forest was brave enough to bring it to the board members, and the town itself was courageous enough to support this project. And with that courage, they went to the Golden Leaf and they got the grant. And it's amazing how many products have come through the facility. A lot of the projects are absolutely amazing. Okay. They're very, very cool.
Give us a hint. Paint us a
picture.
I know you can't tell.
There's a lot of NDA. This is true science. Okay. We have several PhDs on staff, and the science that they do here is very impressive. The level of sophistication of identifying the requirements of a antenna, the radio design, and the integration of design is very, very impressive. Mm-hmm. And it should not be understated. This is a one of a kind environment. Because we're there to facilitate these startup companies, or we're there to facilitate a Fortune 100 company. And we define ourselves as a public asset.
Okay.
And that means that our motive is to help that company add value, okay, whether it's a single person or, again, a Fortune 100 company, because most of the companies don't have this level of expertise. And since we bring that collective knowledge into the facility and from our network, this becomes, again, a huge asset to many companies. So when they come in here and they have a challenge, We have not been able to, we've been able to muster the skills, the tools, including the chamber. That is very, very cool. It's by the way, if you want to look at the chamber, it's on the website. So we're wirelesscenter-nc.org. So for a little advertisement there, I would say go take a look at it as we speak. Because it really is hard to describe, and you know, it is so very cool.
I think it's even hard to describe or hard to experience until you're inside of it. I mean, the photographs, we need a 3D photograph of this thing because it's just, it's so hard to wrap
it's
your arms
surreal,
around.
Right?
It photos, you almost look like it's a drawing, right? It's hard to understand where things fit in it. And so the reality is with Satimo, any kind of device.
Yep. Anything from an on body, pacemaker with a wireless connection all the way up through a satellite and then cell phones and anything wireless like Wi-Fi, we can test and evaluate passive or active. So it's a very broad range of capabilities, and that was designed to maximize the economic development benefits.
Are you seeing a trend now in the kinds of things that are being, and fewer phones perhaps, and maybe more medical or even clean tech devices?
We're seeing a lot of machine-to-machine applications going on. So basically, you know, you're putting cell phones in vending machines and in other products too. We're seeing that just blossoming everywhere. Data transfer, you know, is that. And then also broadband to the home. One of the things that we're working with the Golden Leaf on our second grant is to help to bring broadband wireless capabilities to rural and underserved areas.
So that's a big community here in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
It's significant. But just to be clear, that the center, although we work with the Golden Leaf to help get these projects off the ground, has been basically cash flow neutral, and so we've been able to bring enough business into the center to keep the lights on and to continue to grow the business. So that's very encouraging. But the projects we're working on vary from a Wi-Fi device in a home control environment, home automation environment, to a potential electric meter we work in, to, again, satellites. We don't care. The concept of antenna and a radio system is basically a black art with great science around it. Mm. And to apply that knowledge across multiple radios application is pretty much similar, you know, and but most companies, I just came out of a large startup that was funded up to $40 million. It was in energy space. And it was all driven by radio technology.
And we do love radio here at Business Radio.
We do love radio technology. You know, be good. But the wireless technology, I should say, right? Radio sounds a bit dated. Maybe I'm dating myself. I resemble that remark. Yeah, I can say that. But we were trying to drive the entire communication of the home automation control with a wireless network. And we would have benefited a great deal if we had the Wireless Research Center, because when you design radios, as an engineer, but not as an RF engineer, you don't exactly know the level of quality of the radio and how that whole system integrates into you, what you're expecting from the radio. So we, by definition, can quantify that and very clearly quantify that and share that and actually improve in the quality of the radio and the system. But again, that application of knowledge goes across multiple radios. So that's where the benefit and unique, and that's why we become an asset to, again, the large company or a small company, a mid-market company, because you don't just bring that in-house quickly.
Yeah.
You really have to integrate with the development team and the project management teams to make sure that we're meeting the mark of the customer and the company's expectations.
You've really been taking a lot of steps forward in the last year, especially. There have just been a number of things. So before we start going into where you're going in the future, I need to explain for the audience what a Golden Leaf grant is. Why does it exist? Where did it come from? Where is that money? What's that look like?
Well, the money comes from the Golden Leaf Foundation, and it's solicited through a grant process open to nonprofit organizations, mainly to promote economic development. And the source of the money comes from, I believe it was a tobacco settlement with the different states. And the state of North Carolina took their settlement and put it into a foundation to help promote economic development throughout the state in areas that were hit by the reduction in tobacco growth.
Okay. And so the Golden Leaf grants, two grants, one specifically for the testing facilities and one specifically for
portable wireless testing facilities. So that helps the mission of getting out to the rural areas.
And so, why do you need portable wireless testing facilities in order to get rural broadband?
Well, it's one of the ways of evaluating in situ the performance in a rural area. So if you wanted to develop or deploy a system and test it out, we can go out and do measurements with a temporary tower to put up the system to see if the coverage is actually reaching the intended individuals or companies.
Mm-hmm. How does that play here in the Cape Fear area? Sean, do you have any handle on what kind of rural broadband issues we might be feeling here?
Within Wilmington, there's not too many, but as you reach outside the county into like Brunswick County and a lot of the rural areas, then you have those gaps of coverage. And this is something that we've kind of at CloudWise, we've spearheaded. The technology has gotten so much better that we're able to jump over the wired networks and the wired footprint that takes so much effort and labor and engineering. And wireless gives us that ability to do that. And that's really what these guys are working on.
Mm-hmm. So most of the actual areas of North Carolina that you guys are looking at for 2014 for the broadband mm-hmm. initiative, I would assume, are they mostly further west in that case? Where geographically are we talking about having hotspots for?
Well, the state itself by population, 80% is in the urban areas.
Right.
But then quickly, the remaining of the balance of the community is the other 80% of the physical population is where the other 20% of the people live.
Mm-hmm.
And from an economic point of view, a lot of the service providers have not been willing to invest because there's no return on investment that would allow that to happen. So when we think in terms of the rural community, it's western North Carolina to the eastern shores. The eastern shores have a challenge because of all the water in the topography.
Mm.
The western part of the state has the mountains, and all those become challenges. The important part of the discussion when you talk about trying to bring broadband to the rural community is the discussion of the digital divide. One of the hardest parts of the economic recovery is how to improve the economic conditions in the rural communities. One of the reasons that maybe is lagged is because the access to the broadband connectivity. You know, to become commercially competitive in this world, you need strong broadband connectivity. And if we continue to allow the digital divide to get wider and wider, those communities are going to fall further and further behind. And I think that's why it's an important project for the state of North Carolina, again, who has the vision to say this is important. And the Golden Leaf Foundation considers this very important. And then this translates into other services that we can deliver, improve emergency network services, telemedicine services. All this reaches into these rural communities that don't have access to the services that this 20% of the physical state does. And that because they remain within 20, 30 miles outside these urban areas or suburban areas, they lack the same level of service they need. And there's actually a bit of a Y2K moment coming about, and this is going forward, is that there's a new statute within the state of North Carolina that mandates e-books for the school system.
I was just going to ask about education and how this impacts the youth.
By 2017, from K through 12.
And this is a state?
This is a state law that's been enacted. And a lot of people have challenges in terms of how they're going to address that. I guess the state has a challenge. But the communities, by definition, have a challenge that they have to make sure that the access is available to the students, regardless of whether or not they're in the fortunate 20% of the physical population, or they're in that 80% rural community. So these are, the beauty of this mandate is that it's going to force this delivery of broadband to the entire state. And that's sometimes a very, very good thing. Put a carrot out there that makes people chase it. And the beauty of our entrepreneurship community of North Carolina will solve that problem. So as entrepreneurs, we'd like it. And we know this technology that can deliver the solution. So we'd like the kind of the crossing of the two communities, and whether the public service community and the entrepreneur community actually solve some of these problems.
It
becomes a good opportunity for everybody.
It's a real interesting model to marry them both. You don't actually see that very often.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the Commercialization Center and tell us about how you work with entrepreneurs.
So one of our passions here is, again, to start companies. That's the intent of the economic of the Wireless Research Center, is to impact economic development. And we use the center almost as a facilitator of such. So but if you look at a new company, it's never a platform by design. It is the entire vertical integration of the service. You know, how do you satisfy the customer? How do you make sure that you maintain the level of service? And in order to do that, you can't just develop a product in a vacuum. So you have to actually create companies. And the company's got to be well thought out in terms of what they're delivering and how they're going to deliver it, how they're going to funnel that. So we can help increase the quality of the technology. But if it doesn't have a company that is built around, then that technology is not going to have a customer in the long term.
Right.
So the commercialization center at the Wireless Center is intended to help companies mature from a theoretical technology to a commercial application. And thus, in other words, having somebody pay for your great technology and actually have return on investment for all the time and money that is put into this technology.
So it's the two of you essentially offering advice on how to go from A to B?
I think it's a lot more than that.
Well, tell us what that is then.
Yeah. You know, so everything has an ROI and that means how much time and effort you want to put into the project, time and money and effort to put into the project. And we bring the experts into the discussion that can help evaluate that. And it does start when you say just the two of us. If we're looking at your IP, we'll bring subject matter experts into the discussion about the IP. And we'll have them evaluate it. And when you start evaluating the intellectual property, you start looking in terms of the marketability of that intellectual property. And that increases the value of the company.
So this really, you play into a lot of partnerships here to help you with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. We are the facilitator of these early companies. Both of us, I've been a CEO of a public company that started from ground, as actually a reverse merger out of a large company.
Oh.
I've been a CEO of a public company that was a startup as well. So we've experienced a lot of that. So we do bring some of our personal experience, and that's an important part of that.
Absolutely.
And then we bring the university system into the equation. Sometimes they add value to the discussion. So
And vice versa.
And
right,
vice
you're
versa,
adding
right.
value back into their researchers,
that's
I
right,
assume.
That's right.
Right, right. Yeah.
So that's really interesting. Okay. All right. What have I neglected to ask the three of you about wireless technologies today?
I think one of the biggest things is that, and I guess the reason that the three of us are probably in the room, is that we've made a decision that we are going to use wireless for not just the rural side, but for the urban side and for businesses. And if it's good enough for the businesses, I think we've proven over the last 2 years that it is as good or better than the infrastructure that's in the ground. And I think that's really important to tell people because you get a lot of people that don't believe it or feel like it's, wireless isn't as good as wired. And these guys are here to tell you from an engineering side that it is as good or better than what's in the ground now. And I'd boast that it's a lot better than some of the infrastructure that's been laid, at least in our area.
Well, and you're basing a lot of your company's success on that.
100%.
100%. 100% of his company's success is based on wireless.
It's such a vital part of what we do that without, obviously, internet access, we aren't here. We don't exist.
Right.
At least CloudWise doesn't. Yeah. So.
Well, neither does Business Radio X, and neither do you guys. So.
just a quick comment on what the state of North Carolina has done with MCNC, which is the provider of all the fiber throughout the state. Being that aggressive and that proactive to actually put, and that was also funded by a Golden Leaf project as well. They put up, I think, 2,600 miles of fiber throughout the entire state. They've connected all 82 community colleges, which means by definition they connect all 100 counties in the state of North Carolina. So now, and then this is really the crux of some of the Golden Leaf grant we're doing, and also the crux of what we're doing collectively as the three of us here. We want to utilize and maximize all that fiber has been put down. And so the state of North Carolina can lead the way in how to actually reach the entire community. So the forethought to actually do that, and now we're part of the implementation process, and we will try and help facilitate that. So that's an interesting, unique position that the state of North Carolina has found itself in. And not without challenges, because the community, the 80% of the landscape is such a challenge.
Explain to us why we need to talk about fiber and wireless in the same breath.
Yeah, so we use not everything is wireless when you get, when you're working with the internet. So we actually utilize fiber up to our towers. So the fiber becomes our backbone.
Ah.
And then we distribute what's called the last mile via wireless.
Excellent.
And sometimes it's physically too challenging to bring fiber over that geographic region, so wireless bridges that gap.
Gotcha. Let me take just one step toward understanding the geek side of this world one more time. How do you use antennas in up to your towers? What happens? Where do antennas get implemented in this whole grand scheme of things?
Sure. So it's not much unlike your cell phone. So we're what's called a fixed wireless versus a mobile wireless. So our wireless devices don't move.
Okay.
And we report the location of those to the FCC so they can track them and where they are. But ultimately what we do is we bring fiber to our towers. That's where kind of the internet source or the well, if you will, would start. And then our antennas, just like a cell phone company, we'd put our access points on that tower.
Okay.
And then at our customer premise, there's a small receiving unit that gets mounted either on their building or on their structure.
It's like our old modems that we used to plug in that had that antenna that went up. Remember
yep.
that? Everybody had a little plug-in access for Wi-Fi.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
But this is not Wi-Fi, what we do.
Yeah. So, see, now that's really important.
Yeah. So it's a wireless secure connection up to the building, up to the premise. You can't just pick it up on your phone. And then within the building, once you receive it, if you want to put Wi-Fi on it, you can definitely do that. But that's up to the customer.
Oh, that's interesting. So...
So we're not unlike an AT&T or a Time Warner cable
okay.
in the sense of what we provide at the end of the day. So
okay.
there's internet that we bring to you there. What you do with it is completely your choice.
I see. So I can, just like I can with my home modem, I can just plug in via Ethernet cable
correct.
Or I can just go Wi-Fi.
So typically if you have cable, you call them, they provide you the modem, and then you connect your router up to that and provide that. So
right.
we would just replace the modem portion. You would still keep your customer router.
Interesting. Okay. This was really interesting, you guys. Thanks so much for getting us smarter about what this is and what's going on out there. I'm really excited to see where this relationship with the three of you guys go and or the two companies goes and what happens with Wireless North Carolina going forward. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing out.